Thank you again, Pastor. I love taking the books. I love being with God's people. I love going to new churches. God's people absolutely are the best. One verse will claim our attention for our little meditation tonight. In the book of the Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 1, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for all the blessings of life. Thank you for brothers and sisters that we can gather with, even 800 miles from home, but I'm still at home. And you have bound our hearts in Christian love, and we're like-minded believers. I pray for this church and her good pastor, that their witness in the community will stand strong, and that there'll be a shining light, and many souls will be saved right here at this church. Bless his pastors. He pastors them. Give me preaching grace. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Hide me behind the cross. I just want to encourage the people tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak to you on this subject. Jesus, the Rose of Sharon. Now, I want you to notice very carefully. He said, I'm the Rose of Sharon and I'm the Lily of the Valleys. I'd never noticed that till I built this sermon. The word valleys is in the plural. It's not in the singular. That indicates to me that in this life, there will be many, many valley experiences that all of us will have to go through. And we have the assurance from this verse that standing in the shadows, in the valleys of life, we will always find Jesus Christ. He is there with His omnipotent power and with His overcoming promises. No matter how low you are, no matter how deep in the valleys that you find yourself, maybe even tonight, He is the lily of the valleys. The Song of Solomon, that book exalts the beauty of Christ clearer than any other book in the entire Bible. Now, this whole book is about Jesus Christ. Okay? You need to understand that. This book is about Jesus. If you study the Bible and you don't see Jesus, then you didn't study the Bible correctly. If you read the Bible and you don't read about Jesus, then you didn't read it correctly. If you preach the Bible, but you never preach Jesus, then you're not preaching the Bible, because this book is all about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Bible, you see, is the written Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the incarnate Word of God. This Bible is God's Word in ink. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's Word written in blood. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Well, even Christ Himself in John 5:39 said, "Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of Me." So I want us to notice first that there's a statement that is made. He said, "I am." That means He's the self-existent God. When He said, "I am," that means He is God all by Himself. God doesn't need us to be God, you see. Now, He said, "I am." And you know in the New Testament, He said, "I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He said, "I am the vine. I am the door." This "I am" magnifies the person of Christ. So we have a statement made. And then we have a symbol that is manifested. He said, "I am the rose of Sharon. Of all things that he could be called, he's called the Rose of Sharon. Of all the flowers in the flower kingdom, the rose stands in a class all her own. The rose is the queen of all flowers. The rose has the ugliest stem and the driest root. The beauty of the rose is in the bloom. The Lord Jesus Christ is above all. The Bible prophesied in Isaiah 53, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Together, you and I tonight can affirm with King Solomon that the Lord Jesus Christ most assuredly is altogether lovely. He is the altogether lovely one. Let's think about historically some of the uses for the rose in ancient times. Back when the Bible was written during this time period, roses were used for cleansing and refreshing. You would go on a long journey to see somebody. You would get to where you were going, and the homeowner would meet you with rose water, which was nothing more than crushed petals soaked in distilled spring water. And the homeowner would take that rose water and he would wash your feet, your hands, and your face and freshen you up. And the stink and the stench of the road would be gone. Could I say tonight, most assuredly, that the Lord Jesus Christ, when we got saved, he washed us and he got the stink and the stench of this old ugly world off of us. Praise be to his name. Also in the olden days, roses were used as a medicine. There was something, I don't know, when you would get full of fever and infection, you could sip on rose water and the powers in that crushed rose petal would chase away the infection and drop the fever. I'm so glad the Bible says, and by his stripes we are healed. It was used. The rose was used as an antidepressant. There was a nutrient, a vitamin, or something in that rose water that would make depression go away. The more you sipped it, the happier you got. And the Rose of Sharon gives joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm telling you, we got a great Savior. Could I give you a little history lesson now about the roses on the plain of Sharon in Palestine, north of Jerusalem? This plain of Sharon is a place that David wrote most of his Psalms. The roses that were found from Sharon were shaped a little differently. They were different in their color from other roses of that time period and location. They were saffron in color, a mixture of red and yellow, and which in the Bible, red is blood and yellow is light. And we know that Jesus is the one who shed his blood and is the light of the world. The roses of Sharon grew wild. That's very important because you see, in that day, roses were just for royalty. Okay? That's the only one that had access to them. They were just for the hootytoos and the big shots and the kings and the queens and their courts. These roses grew wild. They were for everybody. Aren't you glad that when it comes to the Rose of Sharon, that the Bible says, whosoever. Whosoever. And that includes you and me. The roses of Sharon in that time era were the only ones in the world that did not have thorns on their stems. The Lord Jesus Christ was the sinless Son of God. three thoughts. Number one, Jesus, the beautiful Rose of Sharon. What a beautiful, beautiful Savior. How beautiful is the Son of God. You remember when he was baptized? He was beautiful in his baptism. All of a sudden, you know, the Father and the Holy Spirit were there, and the Father's going to introduce him to the world. And he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Well, tell us, preacher, just how beautiful was Jesus Christ? Well, we must trust the testimony of other people. And so we call forth tonight some folks from the Word of God. Tell us, just tell us, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, there you sit by the wayside, begging for a living, blind as a bat. Tell us what you think about Jesus Christ. And old blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, would testify tonight that Christ is most beautiful, that he came by one day. And as I rattled my old tin cup waiting for an offering, the wonderful Son of God, Christ Himself, touched me, and now I can see. Yes, Bartimaeus would tell us, Christ is beautiful. Well, what about you, leper? You're outcast from society. Nobody'd have nothing to do with you. You're all cankered all over your body and sick and putrefying sores. What think ye of the Christ of God? And the old mangled, gnarled up leper who had been cleansed by the blessed power of God would testify tonight that Christ is beautiful. Tell us, widow of Nain, you was just a single mother. You had a little old boy, and he died suddenly, and he died tragically. And you went off down there at the funeral parlor, and you had a little old service, and you was on your way out yonder to the silent city of the dead, going to bury the only boy. Tell us what you think about Jesus. And the widow Nain would say, "Hey, I can tell you about him. I can tell you about him. Yeah, he come by. We was having a funeral procession. My heart was broken. That's all I had left in life. And he come by, and he just touched the casket, and my boy came back to life. Christ is beautiful." Well, tell us, you old heathen woman, caught in the very act of adultery, you woman of ill repute. You know, I've never understood that. You know, a man can go out here and live like a dog, and it's fine. You let a woman do it, and she's the talk of the town. It's just as bad for a man as it is a woman. And here she is, caught in the very act. So they held her before the Christ. And he just stooped down, he wrote on the ground, and, you know, and they kept a badger demon. He's looking down, he that's without sin, let him cast the first stone. He stoops and writes. He looks up, and they're all gone. Woman, where are thine accusers? Well, they left. And the most beautiful words she ever heard, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Woman, what you think about Christ? Oh, he's beautiful. He is beautiful. Yeah. What you think? Old prodigal? Man, you grew up right. Mom and daddy carried you down there to the house of God. Grandma and grandpa was there. You growed up right and you learned right and you was taught right. You went off to church camp every year. You went to VBS. You did everything right. Then you got a little bit too big for your britches and you went off down the road. Yeah, you saved. But you took all that spiritual inheritance that you had and you went out there and started living for the devil. And then you wasted your substance on righteous living and you shamed your family name and you shamed the church that brought you up, and you shamed the Christ of God that saved your soul. And you started living like a lost man. Oh, you saved, but you're living like a heathen. And then you came to yourself, And you said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. And so he made his way to the house, and he rounded the curve, and he come through the cattle gap, and way up the lane was the house. And Daddy was sitting out there on the front porch. You need to read that story. He was up there sitting on the front porch. Why? Because he knew the boy was coming home. Every night after supper, he went out there and looked for him. Could this be the night? Could this be the night? If you really belong to Jesus, you cannot run forever. You cannot run forever. The great love of God has got a grip on you. And no matter how low you sink in the mire and muck, His love will never let go of you. And that old prodigal looked up. There was Daddy. And he ran to meet him. And he fell on him. And he kissed him. And he said, get the ring and get the robe. And have you ever read in that story about the prodigal son? He said, kill the fatted calf. What's the difference in the fatted calf and a fatted calf? The fatted calf was one that was fattened up just for that prodigal son. Because that daddy knew that boy was coming home, and he said, when he comes home, we're going to rejoice. And that boy come to the house. He said, Dad, can I sleep in the barn? He said, contraire, son. Don't be stupid. You get in the house. That's for my servants out there. You're my son. Let us rejoice. Prodigal son, you old heathen, been out of the will of God. What do you think of Jesus? He's beautiful. Jesus, the beautiful Rose of Sharon. What makes Christ so beautiful? The real beauty of Christ is this: the changed life of the believer. He is beautiful because He made your life beautiful. You didn't do it. You couldn't do it. You and I still can't do it. It don't matter how sanctified and dignified we get. The only way we can ever be conformed to the image of His dear Son is through the work of His dear Son. So that's the real beauty of Christ, is the changed life of the believer. And then Jesus, the broken rose of Sharon. The beautiful rose had to become the broken rose. He was broken in Gethsemane. The Bible says, in being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. I don't know Greek. I don't know Hebrew. I took it in seminary. I'm not no deep preacher, because I ain't got enough sense. I'm not smart, okay? But I know what the Bible says, and I believe the Bible. The Bible says he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. I think in the Garden of Gethsemane, that he was under such intense pressure that he was sweating blood out of the pores of his skin. I believe that. If I'm wrong, that's okay. But if I'm right, that makes for good preaching. Doctors tell us that this is really a physical possibility. But the only way that blood can protrude through the pores of the skin is if that person has a heart problem. And I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Christ had a heart problem. His heart was breaking over the sins of humanity. So they came and got him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and there was Judas and the soldiers. And they took him to Gabbatha, and he was broken at Gabbatha. And Gabbatha is the place of the pavement. This is the Roman execution spot. This was where a big stone was, and they would take the prisoner and bend him over the stone, and they would whip him. And it was there that they whipped the Savior. It was there that they plucked out his beard. It was there that they smote him and mocked him and ridiculed him, and stripped him naked. Yes, sir. The beautiful rose of Sharon was broken at Gabbatha, at Gethsemane, and at Golgotha. Here on that little hill outside of Jerusalem, they finished the job. They took the nails. They thrust the spear into his side. They had already plaited the crown of thorns upon his head. They affixed him to that gibbet, and they broke the rose of Sharon. Now let me tell you what you get when you break, scourge, beat a rose. You take a rose and you scourge it, you beat it, you're going to get two things. First thing you're going to get is aroma. And you under that day on Calvary, when the rose of Sharon was broken, you got to understand, for thousands and thousands of years, all that God ever smelled, the only aroma that ever came up into the nostrils of God, were burning guts and fat and hide from Jewish altars. It never did anything to satisfy and appease the wrath of God. But that day that Christ died, that day that the rose of Sharon was crushed and scourged and beat, God sniffed. And it was a sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of God. A sign of acceptance before Almighty God. There's something else you get when you break and scourge and beat a rose. You get red liquid. I want to tell you, when he died on Calvary, his blood flowed and flowed and flowed and flowed. And I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, the blood of Jesus Christ is still flowing from the cross of Calvary, and it still cries out to a lost and dying world, come to Jesus and be saved forevermore. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Have you ever been saved? If you have never been saved, you need to come and get underneath the blood of Jesus Christ. You say, well, I've been saved. Well, you need to freshen up a little bit, child of God. You need to get back to Calvary real often. And you need to get back to the blood. Napoleon, I want to tell you, there's power in the blood. Napoleon was finally defeated at Waterloo. Napoleon put a big map on the wall, and it was getting bad. He put a big red dot on Waterloo. And when the battle was at its height, he walked over to the map, and all of his generals were assembled there. And he put his finger on that red dot. And he said, fellow soldiers, if it were not for that red spot right there, I'd be conqueror. I'd be ruler of the known world. Ladies and gentlemen, if it were not for that red spot called Calvary, the devil would have won the victory. What's that bloodshed all about? It's all about victory. 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 Yonder that day on that hill, as he shed his blood, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And then Jesus, the blooming rose of Sharon. He was beautiful. He was broken. But he's more than beautiful and broken. He's the blooming rose of Sharon. Very respectfully, very tenderly, on that sad day, they took his body off the tree. They pulled the nails. They took cloth, and they wiped the blood off the body. They entombed that body. They put it in that barred tomb that wherein never man had lain. 2 or 3 days went by. And very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, Mary came to the tomb full of grief in her heart. She's weeping uncontrollably. Oh, she missed the Master. And she knew that He was dead. And she knew that the tomb had been sealed and guards had been placed there, but she just wanted to get near the place. Have you ever buried a loved one and went back to the cemetery and just paid a visit? Sure you have. And that's what she was going to do. And she got up there and the stone was rolled away. Oh my stars, what in the world had happened? I'll tell you what happened. That rose that was buried, He bloomed. He came back to life. He ain't dead no more. No more can the grave. Would y'all just one time for me, please, in unison, say amen. Amen. I mean, I'm preaching a good sermon, y'all. Hey, I'm telling you now, that shouting ground, He ain't dead no more, up from the grave. He arose with a mighty triumph over His foes. He arose a victor over the dark domain. And He lives forever with His saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. He came back to life. Walked around here a little bit. Ascended back up to heaven. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father, there to intercede for you and I. You got a problem with COVID? Go talk to Jesus. He's sitting right there. He'll take your... You out of money? Go talk to Jesus. You depressed? He's our great high priest. You say the doctor said cancer. Well, go talk to Jesus. Well, my marriage... Well, go talk to Jesus. My teenagers... Yeah, you better talk to Jesus about teenagers. That's all I can say. A florist, a man went into a flower shop and he was going to buy some roses. So they had some sitting out and he was milling around looking. And the florist hollered at him and said, Hey, be careful. Watch it. Them things got thorns. If them thorns prick you and you get that sap in there, if it gets in your bloodstream, you're going to get rose fever. Could I just say in closing that I got it? You got what? I got rose fever. I've been saved by the blood. I hope you have. Father, bless our message tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, you come before your people.